Well, another executive action from President Obama today, this time related to climate change. The president is unveiling new tools for state, local, and tribal leaders to prepare for climate change, including 3D mapping to plan for weather disasters and money to improve rural power systems' ability to withstand severe storms. In Florida, meanwhile, the Miami Herald reports today that a group of scientists is just trying to get the state's Republican Governor Rick Scott to recognize that climate change exists. When asked about climate change, the governor often says that he's not a scientist, so the group of scientists has written him a letter offering to meet with him. One member of that group is Jeff Chanton, a professor of oceanography at Florida State University. He's with us from WFSU in Tallahassee. Professor, welcome.
Great. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, what exactly did you say to the governor in your letter?
Well, I am co-signing this letter with 10 other faculty members across the state of Florida in various Florida universities, and we would just like to meet with the governor and explain to him the science of climate change. He says, you know, that he's not a scientist, but it's really quite simple to understand it. I've been teaching this for 25 years, and I have a very nice presentation that I can give him, and he will walk away from that, and he will understand the problem.
Well, has he responded?
Not yet, but we're not through. I have to apply on an online website to get another possibility for an interview.
Well, so what would you tell him if you were to meet with him?
I would approach the science of climate change from history. You know, the past is the key to the future and the present. And there's some really excellent ice core data that scientists have published, and they show the history of climate for the last 800,000 years from Antarctica and from Greenland. And what these results show is that the climate oscillates between glacial and interglacial states. That the temperature changes by about 6 to 8 degrees over these time periods. And coincident with those temperature changes are changes in carbon dioxide and methane, two of the major greenhouse gases. And CO2 during this time goes from 280 during the warm periods to 180 during the cold periods. And when you warm up the Earth, you melt the ice that's stored at the poles, and that runs into the ocean and raises the level of the sea. And so sea level is oscillating with these changes in the ice cores that we are seeing recorded in Antarctica and Greenland. So the sea is going up and down by 300 feet. The temperature is going up and down by 6 to 8 degrees centigrade. And the greenhouse gases are going up and down in concert together, CO2 by 100 parts per million. And during this whole period, for 800,000 years, the CO2 varied between 180 during the cold times and 280 during the warm times. 180 to 280, that's 100 parts per million variation. And right now, human activity, you know, fossil fuels, the Industrial Revolution, all the things that we've done since the 1800s has raised the CO2 concentration to 400 parts per million. Hmm. And so that's another 100 that we've piled on top of this oscillation that's been going on for 800,000 years.
And you're able to see that in the ice in the Arctic, the way that you would look at tree rings, for example, to see how old a tree is.
That's exactly – that's a very good comparison. It's just like looking at tree rings, and you can deduce all this because these tiny bubbles of the atmosphere are stored in these ice cores. They're trapped as the snow turns to ice. And so the CO2 concentrations and the methane are outside the bounds of any levels that they've been for a million years. And it's clear that these gases are correlated with temperature. And so if CO2 is higher than it's been in a million years, you might expect – you might be concerned that temperature would increase that way too.
But, Professor, this is not something that the governor of Florida is going to be able to deal with all on his own. What exactly do you want him to do?
Well, he needs to work with other people, get the state of Florida behind the changes that the EPA has suggested to reduce the emissions from power plants. You know, that there is some new rules that have been issued by the EPA, and we need his enthusiastic support to get behind those and take the first steps, baby steps, but let's just start walking down the path.
And what's the political reality of that happening in Florida right now? Because we know that there's a governor's race going on, and he's going to be facing the former governor of Florida, Charlie Crist, who was very proactive on dealing with climate change when he was governor. But what's the political reality right now?
Well, you know, I can't really speak to that, but it would seem to me that if Rick Scott would come to the center, he would capture a lot of potential votes that might go to Charlie Crist. So I think it would be an excellent move for Rick Scott to meet with us. I can't imagine a better political strategy for him right now.
You know, I imagine there are some people in the Rick Scott campaign who are seeing this in today's Miami Herald and perhaps hearing you now and saying this is a stunt. This is a political stunt to bring attention to Rick Scott's views on this issue, which is clearly something that he doesn't want the election to be all about. What about that?
Well, you know, I am not a radical. I am actually a registered Republican, and I'm from Mississippi. So I'm not a radical. I have talked in the past to Republican administrations. In the Bush administration, I met with the head of the DEP, Colleen Castile, and Michael Soule, and they scheduled me for a half-hour talk, and we got along so well that we spent 2 hours talking about these issues. And I think that they were very interested, and I think I made a lot of headway with them. And so I really believe that if people would just listen, that we, you know, not just me, but the 10 scientists that signed on to this letter, we have a good story to tell, and we can make it understandable. And if people would just listen, I think that they would have a better understanding of this issue and not be so afraid of it.
Jeff Chanton is professor of oceanography at Florida State University, and you can see the letter that he and other scientists wrote to Governor Rick Scott of Florida at our website, hereandnow.org. Jeff Chanton, thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, we invited Governor Scott on the program to respond, and we will bring that interview to you if he accepts.